The details of the provincial government's tentative agreement with NAEP coming out. The offer includes a wage freeze, a no-layoff clause, and a severance payout to anyone with more than a year of service. CBC News has learned that that payout will cost taxpayers in this province some $250 million. Here's what the Premier had to say about the deal earlier today.
In respecting the negotiations that got us to where we are today in the ratification process that's currently underway with NAEP and its members, I think the Minister of Finance, President of Treasury Board, and all of us have said that we respect that and we've made a decision that we would let the ratification process let that unfold before we spoke publicly about any specific issues within that. But I will say this, when it comes to severance, they are liabilities that exist on a government's balance sheet. And they're there if it's for management employees, or they're there if they're for union employees. So at what point that gets paid out and what that process looks like, if that liability exists on the government finances. So is there whether you pay it out in 2017 or is there whether you pay it out at future dates?
Again, that is Premier Dwight Ball speaking with reporters earlier today. Richard Alexander is the executive director of the Newfoundland and Labrador Employers Council. No surprise, he has a few things to say about the deal currently being voted on by NAEP's 20,000 members. And he's here now in the On the Go studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with that last clause first. What do you make of the government's decision to pay out everybody's severance now and get it off the books?
Yeah, I think it's overall a good move. I mean, the reports are that it's going to cost taxpayers $250 million. That's challenging for government to come up with that kind of money when they're borrowing $2 million a day just to keep the lights on. But overall, it will reduce the liability that taxpayers have. It will help government balance their books. Not immediately. We're looking at an impact maybe, even 10 years down the road. But it is a positive thing.
You think the government will in the end save some money by doing that now?
Oh, absolutely. They will. Well, if they pay it out, and they will stop the accumulation of severance in the public service, which is something that the federal government has done and some other provinces in Canada have done to try and deal with fiscal situations. And our fiscal situation is the worst in Canada. So, anything that they do like that is going to help long term.
All right, what about the two other major headlines out of this tentative agreement? No wage increases, but no layoffs either.
Yeah, so the wage freeze, I think, is absolutely necessary. It's the money is just not there. We're borrowing, $2 million a day just to keep the lights on. There's no money there to give on the wage side of things. The no layoff clause, putting that into a collective agreement is something exceedingly rare that you see in labor relations, collective agreements in particular. At a time when the province is teetering on the edge of a fiscal cliff, it's an exceedingly dangerous thing to do. And I'll explain to you why. For two reasons. The first one is that let's say that the price of oil goes down, drops by $20 a barrel tomorrow. What government has done by including this in the collective agreement is they've given up one of their only tools to affect the size of the workforce to protect the services and protect taxpayers. So they've really taken away one of, if not their best tool to be able to deal with a worsening fiscal situation. The second problem with a no layoff agreement or clause in a collective agreement is that they've gone out and they've asked agencies, boards, and commissions. They say they're looking for efficiencies. They're trying to find ways to save money. We cannot afford the services that government is providing now. So things like healthcare, we're borrowing now just to keep healthcare as it is. So the current state is not sustainable. In order to make it sustainable requires reform. And having government departments or agencies, boards, and commissions try to find reform and reform the way they're delivering programs and services without the ability to adjust the size of their workforce makes that task very, very difficult or even impossible. So we have huge concerns with the no layoff clause.
But the government's been saying all along that they can meet their targets through attrition alone, that as people retire, they won't be replaced. They're not saying they're going to keep the workforce the same size. As people retire, they won't be replaced. They're going to shrink the workforce that way. You don't think that's enough?
It may be enough, but what if it isn't? We think that attrition is a good strategy. It enables government to reduce the size of government in the least impactful way. But again, if you're looking at reforming how we deliver healthcare in this province, because we can't afford the way we do it now, If you're looking at introducing new technologies, if you're looking at new innovative ways to deliver these services, the inability to adjust the size of the workforce will make that exceedingly difficult. So if you have somebody that is retiring in a critical position within government, you have to replace that position. If you have positions that are redundant and that person and you want to get rid of that position, you have to wait till that person retires. That could be 20 or 30 years. So we're not saying massive layoffs, but the government removing their ability to adjust the size of the workforce is really a limiting factor in trying to get a hold of this fiscal crisis.
Does it give you any comfort that while this is a four-year deal, they've been working without a contract for almost 2 years, so there's only about 2 years left in it? Does that give you any comfort?
Not really. The fact that the deal will expire and then there'll be another year of negotiations and discussions. We'll be into the second year of the next government's mandate. And we know from past history that it's very difficult for governments to do things as they get closer to a next election. So, we would have preferred to have seen a 3-year agreement.
All right. Somebody argued with me today that the government almost had to do something like this because if they insisted on the wage freeze, which you think is a good idea, I think almost everybody does, though.
Sure.
I have a question about that in a second. If they insisted on the wage freeze and they didn't give the workers something in return, no layoffs, NAEP would call a strike, then the government would have to legislate them back to work. Then they'd really have some challenges on their hand managing an unhappy workforce who'd been sent back to work.
Yeah, so if you look at this as worst case scenario, what could government have done to get the severance eliminated, severance benefit eliminated, and the wage freeze? They could have easily, if it went to a strike and they legislated them back to work, they could have achieved that just through the power of the legislature. What they've done is they've entered into a collective agreement. They've got agreement on those other things, but we understand collective bargaining is a back and forth, and something has to be given up. But for government to give up what is, clearly one of their only tools that they have to be able to deal with, a massive drop in the price of oil, something happens in the economy that they have to adjust. I mean, if we get to a point where we're accumulating $2, $3 billion in deficit, the only alternative that government will have, because they can't go to reducing the size of the workforce, they'll have to borrow more, which is, unconscionable because we're at the edge of a fiscal cliff now. We're going to run out of the ability to borrow money. Or the other thing is that they'll have to go back to taxpayers and ask for more taxes when we're already taxed at some of the highest levels in Canada. So it's a very, very dangerous situation with this type of clause.
Now, that's the NAEP deal currently being voted on. They are in talks with other other unions, including CUPE. And you've seen the ads.
Yeah.
CUPE, we talked about wage freezes a minute ago. CUPE keeps running this ad on my TV every 5 minutes saying a wage freeze is a cut because there's nothing in it for the cost of inflation and that this is simply unacceptable. How difficult do you think it's going to be to reach a deal with them?
Well, we're everybody in this province is in this fiscal situation together. That's the reality of it. In the private sector, we've seen wage rollbacks, we've seen wage freezes, we've seen lots of layoffs, and we're still at a position, and we've seen massive tax increases. So we're still at a position where, again, government is running deficits. They're borrowing $2 million a year just to keep the lights on. We can't sustain the path that we're on. So I think that government looking for wage freezes at a time when the province is in such a fiscal state is a responsible thing to do. I think that everybody has a part to play.
All right. I'm going to ask this question again. I ask it all the time. I'm going to keep asking it in interviews like this. We're having to borrow $2 billion a year to keep the lights on, in part because we have to pay $13 billion for Muskrat Falls.
Sure.
How much less would our problem be if we didn't have that stone hung around our neck?
It would be less, but I'll tell you, we've done a lot of work with economists on the fiscal situation of the province, and this is what they tell us. They say there are three things in this province that could potentially, I won't use the word bankrupt, but put the province in an exceedingly difficult place where we're unable to borrow money in order to pay the interest on our debt. And those three things, one of them is Muskrat Falls. The other one is the spending on programs and services, running deficits year after year after year. And the third one is the unfunded public sector pension liabilities that our government and our taxpayers still have to contribute to. Any one of those three things could have drastic financial implications for the province. And Newfoundland and Labrador has three of them. So it's not just Muskrat Falls, it's the other two as well. And it's given that backdrop and that, those concerns, for a population of 530,000 people, you know, it's up to our government to do anything and everything possible to be able to pull us out of this fiscal situation.
All right. If I don't talk to you before, I guess I'll be talking to you on Budget Day. I want to thank you for coming by today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's going to be an interesting budget for sure. That is Richard Alexander. He is the executive director of the Newfoundland and Labrador Employers Council. What do you make of what he had to say? Call TalkBack. Let me know. 1-800-465-6846 is the number to dial. Our email address is on the go at cbc.ca.